Yes, it's a second week in 2016. I don't know about you, but guys, I am excited about what God's doing in my life and what he's going to do in this church and hopefully in your life. And so I'm so glad that you're here with us today because I have the privilege of sharing the word today. Pastor Paul is out on a much needed vacation. And as you guys know, Pastor Paul is puts countless hours into making our church the most effective church around. And, you know, he does an amazing job. So much need a break for him. So I was tapped on the shoulder to teach today, and I'm excited to bring a word that God's kind of been putting in my spirit over the last couple weeks and something that I think hopefully you guys will get something out of it today. So last week, Pastor Paul spoke on the power of God through prayer, and that we need to be praying. We need to awaken to praying to God for big things in our life, for great things, and believing that he's going to come through with that. And so I was really touched by that message. It inspired me. And with that, it kind of gave me this message today, because I feel like behind every prayer that we pray and every moment of believing for something great, there has to be a measure of faith with that. And I believe that that's something that we need to get as believers if we're going to have the best year yet. Anybody here ready to have the best year yet? Come on. I know that some of us, that's right. I know that some of us can honestly say that last year was not their best year, that last year was a struggle. And some of us here may say that they did have a great last year, but they're ready to build on that. They're ready to become awakened to all that God has for them in their life. So today, I want to talk a little bit about awakening to the wonder of God through our childlike faith. And so hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun today, and you guys may be encouraged by the end, because I think God has shown me some really cool stuff that I want to share with you today. And as you, most of you guys know, I'm the youth pastor here, and I enjoy just hanging out with students, spending time with them. And when I first got here, for the first 8 months, I was actually director over all the student ministry. And so I was very involved in all the facets. And I got to work closely with the teachers and spent a lot of time with the little ones as well. And got to see some of their behaviors and characteristics. And of course, I have two kids of my own. I have a 4-year-old son, Landon. I had to think about that for a second. And a 9-year-old, because they keep getting older, 9-year-old daughter, McKenna. And which I spent a lot of time with because I believe it's important to invest in our future. But through that process, it helped me observe some things that I think I'm going to talk about today, and things that awakened me to some childlike faith that I think we need to have. And it's spending those times. And one of the things that I think that I'm good at, or at least happens naturally for me, is that I'm able to kind of revert back to my childhood. When I'm hanging out with my kids, or if I'm hanging out with young people, I love that. It energizes me. It fuels me, because I revert back to what it is to be a kid, and I get right in there and we're having fun, and it doesn't matter what we're doing. If I'm with Landon and we're playing ninjas, man, I'm in a sword, I'm a ninja, and I'm taking you out, you know? So it's cool. You know, I can do that. And so with that, I find myself kind of getting in their world and kind of discovering again a little bit about how they view us and I think that relationship is important to see how children view their parents and how we view the Father. And so I think there's something there that I think we should talk about. So I want to read the scripture to you. Matthew 18:3 says, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. Okay. So Jesus is saying that we need to become like little children. Well, there's a couple things I want to distinguish today about that, because I think there's a really important thing that we should distinguish, and that is the difference between being childish versus being childlike. So I'm going to spend just a couple minutes talking about that, okay? So in order to illustrate that, I actually have got a clip that I want you guys to check out. So if we could, you go ahead and roll that and check this out. All right, that was awesome. Do you guys like that? That was pretty funny. I love that. Thank you, Jill, for finding that clip for me, because that was perfect. So here's a guy named Eric, right? He's trying to do the things that kids do and get away with, but it's not the same for us adults, is it? So, and one of the things that I noticed about that is if you look at him and you look at his that situation, there's one thing in common, you know, because he's definitely being childish. And that commonality is definitely the fact that it is all about him, isn't it? Everything. And our children are like that. They can be very childish. They can be very self-centered. So that's the thing I want you guys to know about childish is it's all about being self-centered, which is very different than childlike faith, which we're going to get into in just a second. So it says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. So we have to kind of evolve. We have to kind of grow up, don't we? We have to put away these childish things. And you know, my son Landon, man, he is that kid in that clip. If that was a kid, that was him. He did all of those things. He can't even wipe his behind, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, you should be able to do that on your own. Okay, so listen, the other day, he's like asking for a cup, so I bring him a cup of water, same thing. That's not what I wanted. I wanted my Captain America cup, you know? And so that is a selfish response. But the good news is that Landon is also learning how to leave those selfish and childish ways behind. So the other day at his school, I'll tell you a quick little story. He's at his preschool because he's 4 years old and they do a snack time every day. And when Leanne came to pick him up, the teacher was really excited because she said, you know, there's different levels of colors. And I think if all you parents out there know that now there's like a color system. So if they had a good day, they get green. If yellow and red is not a good day. So you don't want red. All right. If you get red, that's bad. So nevertheless, the teacher was like, hey, I just got to tell you something exciting. Landon was moved on blue today. We're like, blue? Okay, I didn't know there was a blue. That's awesome, you know. What's blue? And so tell me what's going on. She said, well, it was really neat today. We didn't have enough snacks for everybody, and Landon didn't get a snack. And so his friend sitting next to him took his snack and broke it in half and gave it to Landon. And so then Landon saw that there was other people without snacks. So he went around and started breaking everybody's snack and making sure that everybody had something that day. And we just thought it was so selfless and such a kind act that we put him on blue today. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, that little devil, there is hope in him. Because right now, so in those moments like that, I'm encouraged because I know there's hope, right? There's hope for my son, and there's hope for us, even as adults, that we can leave those childish ways behind and that we could grow up and learn really what God wants us to learn. And so what I want you to know is that there are some of us adults that are still hanging on to some childish behaviors. It just happens. I mean, even within the church, you know, we have a lot of that, right? You know, you don't get the promotion that you want. You're like, wait a minute, that was my promotion. I should have got that promotion. And it becomes about you or you know, just like kids want toys, us parents, we want toys sometimes. I wanted that toy, you know? Come on now. I want to be driving that BMW. Come on. You know what I'm saying? So it's true. Some of us have, not that there's anything wrong with driving BMW, by the way. I'm just saying it's wrong to have those selfish desires and it be self-motivated. And when you see somebody else have what you want and to act out in a selfish manner, and it becomes a self-centered way of living. And I think that's what I want to challenge your thinking a little bit today, that as we go from childish to childlike faith, we leave some of that stuff behind and we enter in a new season of our life. And hopefully we can awaken to some of the best years yet. I know that for my life, definitely had some pretty self-centered moments. Yeah. I mean, I can remember there was a period of time every time I went to the grocery store, I set my watch that I don't have on right now, but I used to have one, and I would look at it, and I would set it, and I would try to get in and out of the grocery, and some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You try to get in and out of the grocery without talking to anybody. You're like timing it to see how quick you can get in and out, and so I'd have my list. I'd go in and out of the grocery, and I would make a point not to talk to anybody because I'm afraid it might delay me by a couple minutes, so I would just kind of, if somebody said, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, good, see ya. Keep going, right? And the thing was, I've always liked people, but I was self-motivated. I was self-centered. Everything was about me and my time. And somehow my time became way more important than everybody else's time. And that's not the heart of Christ. And so that is something that I had to check myself in and I had to grow out of. And so I think God is calling us to put away those childish things and awaken to childlike faith. So what is childlike faith? Well, I'm glad that you asked. I'm going to tell you what it is. Childlike faith is trust-centered, which is very different than self-centered. It's trusting in something greater than you, which is our God, our Heavenly Father. And so I want to give you five qualities of childlike faith, things that will maybe make this illuminate and maybe you have a better perspective of what I'm talking about this morning. So five qualities. And the first quality of childlike faith is trusting, of course. Trusting. You know, children, if you look at children, and when Jesus was saying that to the disciples, he was talking about small children trusting without hesitation. And we have to have that same dynamic in our faith life and our walk with him. You know, my kids never wake up and go, am I going to have food today? They know that we're going to take care of them. Just the same way that we know that God is going to take care of us. We have to trust no matter what, that when we get wounded or when we get hurt, God is there to help us. If my son gets hurt or my daughter gets hurt, they know that we're there to help them, that we're there to protect them from danger. We're there to guide them. And so it's through that transformation of us shifting the focus off ourselves and allowing God to be in control. And you know what's really cool is last week, Pastor Paul spoke about aerodynamics real briefly. I don't know if you caught it, but if you weren't here, he said that they studied aerodynamics for a while before they figured out how they could control it. And I think that some of us get into our lives where we try to study God so much that we can figure out how we control him. Let me just put your mind at ease. You're never going to be able to control him. So instead, what you have to do is trust him. Okay, so it's about trusting in God, even when you can't see beyond what's going to happen. You have to, it's a step of faith. It's a faith wall. So the second quality that I want you guys to understand this morning is transparency. Children are not very good at hiding their flaws, are they? If there's something wrong and they're a little one, they're going to tell you what's wrong, aren't they? They're not going to hold back. If they see something that's messed up, they're going to tell you. They're going to let you know. I remember a few years ago, my daughter McKenna and I were, I'm putting her to bed. She looks at me. I'm expecting something like really sweet and just like endearing, you know? And she looks up at me and she's like, Daddy, your nose hairs are disgusting. Was like, dang, I guess that's probably true. My nose hairs are disgusting, but thank you for that. That's very transparent. Thank you for telling me. They're so honest. And the deal is, what I want you to grasp this morning is that we've got to be transparent with God. Have you ever found yourself in a moment where you've done something that you know God didn't want you to do, and you've kind of just like hid it from him? Or at least tried to. I know growing up, I used to do that. I used to think that if I didn't pray about it, then he wouldn't know, right? But that's not how it works. He already knows. And the deal is the enemy's going to tell you that God won't know if you just don't pray. You got to pray to him. You got to be transparent. You got to let him know when you're struggling. You have to take those things that you're struggling with and be transparent with him. It's having childlike faith. Yeah. I got this from observing children and just trying to remember what it was like to be in their shoes. Another thing, another quality of childlike faith that I think we need to focus on is the carefreeness or carefree. Children are free to live in the present with no concern about the future. No, they don't overcomplicate life. We do, right? We think about our friends and our family. We qualify people, you know, we do all these things. But in our relationship with God, we've got to be carefree. We've got to not overcomplicate it and trust him. All right, I want to give you two more qualities of childlike faith. Here we go. Number four, insistent. Man, if you have kids, you know this is true. How often has your child been insistent or persistent when they wanted something? Come on. Let me tell you, I have two kids, and when my daughter wants something, she's the worst. She is the worst. She will not let go until she gets the answer she wants. Now, I don't think it's good to beg, But Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. By prayer and petition. And the word petition means to keep bringing that back to him. That you're petitioning your request to him. If you have something in your life that you're praying for, that you're believing for, you've got to put your faith into it and you've got to keep bringing it to him. If there's something in your life that God has shown you, there's something great that he's called you to do, then you've got to keep bringing it to the Father. You have to keep praying and believing each day. When you wake up, it's the first thing on your mind. When you go to sleep, right before you go to sleep, it's the last thing on your mind. Petition your requests to him until you see the results or until he shows you something different, okay? Because he wants to guide you in this life. He's never going to leave you just hanging. If you have something, he's put a desire that comes from him, then he's going to help you reach that, okay? So the last thing that I want to share, the last quality of childlike faith, number five, imaginative. This is probably one of my favorite ones because I think as adults, we get away from this one. And I think that there is an element to children that encapsulates imagination, doesn't it? Children see possibilities where we sometimes see problems. And so I have learned that working with kids and being with students that sometimes we need to broaden our imagination. Don't put God in a box, right? We need to be believing him for the impossible. The imagination, and I can think of a moment with Landon. I've been talking a lot about my kids because it relates to this message. So I'll tell you, you know, Landon's really imaginative. He's got a great imagination. He's four years old. Like I tell you, 1 minute he's in a ninja suit and he's playing ninjas and then he's done with that and then he's wearing his Captain America because he's Captain America. And of course, if he's going to be playing Captain America, he has to have the suit on. So we're playing that. His imagination, when he's got that suit on, his name is not Landon. It's Captain America, right? He's in that world and he's able to tap into his imagination. And I love that about him. And he, you know, he'll do that with Legos and different things. You know, he'll be taking a Lego and he'll throw it across the room and be like, Daddy, he's flying. And I'm like, well, I wasn't flying. That was just you throwing him, but that's close enough. 1.2 seconds in the air. I guess that's, we'll call it flying, whatever. And so, but in his world, I think that he's onto something. Cause I think what I love about children and having that childlike faith is that we start to believe things that are not as though they are, right? God wants us to look past what is in front of us. He wants us to see beyond the circumstances. He wants us to believe for the impossible because in the impossible is when miracles happen. It's in the moments we say we can't that he says, I can. So I think it's time that we start adopting this kind of faith. And maybe some of you do a great job at it, but I can tell you, as I was studying for this, it challenged me on a lot of different levels. And I realized that I could do this more. I could believe for great things. And after Pastor Paul preached that message, I was like, what is it that I'm believing for that's great? And then what kind of faith do I have behind it? It's this childlike, wondrous faith. And I love that. And so as I'm preparing for this message, God kind of stirred something up in me. And it was really cool because I think he awakened my imagination in this scripture. And it was like a childlike faith moment for me. And so in Matthew 17:20, I was reading the scripture and it says, he said to them, this is Jesus, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Okay, a lot of us have heard that scripture. This is the NLT, New Living Translation. And what I love, yes, I believe so. What I do sometimes, and just tell you this, when I'm studying or when I'm reading the word, I will take a scripture, and I'll look at probably 10 different translations of that scripture. Because I like to see what's in New King James, NIV, NLT, Message. I like to see them all because I want to see really what the essence is behind it. Because I think if you take one scripture, you can really take it out of context. And I think there's a lot of us out there that have heard this verse. And oftentimes we read it, for truly I say to you, if you have little faith, like a mustard mustard seed in some versions of the Bible. And, you know, I started to read that, and I was like, God, what are you trying to show me about this scripture? And I realized in this version, it says, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, not the size of your faith, but the quality of your faith. And here's what I did. So I thought about that and I said, God, what are you trying to show me? So I started researching mustard seeds. I'm like, okay, what's significant amount of mustard seed? Obviously, Jesus used this parable because he wanted us to learn something. So it must have been important. So I looked up mustard seeds, and here's a couple characteristics that I think are really amazing. Number one, a mustard seed is not easily affected by the environment around it. Come on. If you have faith that is not easily affected by the environment around it, that is what Jesus was talking about. That you're not easily persuaded one way or the other. That we need to have a mustard seed-like faith. And I can tell you, there's probably some of us here that struggle with our faith. That we've been challenged in our faith and we don't know what to believe sometimes. Let me tell you, God says we need to have faith like a mustard seed. Another quality of a mustard seed is it is known for its rapid growth. That's amazing. And when your faith is rapidly growing, I believe you can speak to the mountains and they're going to move. You can take a small little mustard seed and you can produce a great harvest. Which that's the last quality. One seed can bring forth a great harvest. That's what they do. They sprout up and produce much harvest. I think that's the kind of faith that we're looking for. Man, that's good. I was so thankful that God showed me that revelation, and I wanted to share it with you because we're talking about how to awaken our childlike faith and what is it that we need to get this morning. And so I want to give you three ways that we can do this. Pretty simple. Three ways that we can do this. Number one, we can activate our faith. And you just look at the word activate. First part of it is active, right? Action. Putting our faith into action. Because in James 2:26, it says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Faith without works is dead. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you're not active in your faith, if you're not actively believing, you're not actively stepping out in a moment that where you might possibly sink, then it's not true faith. We have to activate our faith. We need to be doers. We can't just sit at home. If we're looking for a job, if we need God to bring us something, sit at home in our bedroom and pray for 2 weeks solid and never leave the house. Yes, it's great to pray. It's great to believe. But you need to step outside and go to somewhere looking for a job and believing that you're going to have favor in the place that you go. Activate your faith. Put your faith into action. Number two, we need to increase. So I'm giving you three ways to awaken to our childlike faith. Number one, activate. Number two, increase. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Hearing. I was like, okay, how do we increase our faith? And I was directed to this scripture right here. Faith comes from hearing the message. We have to come to church. We have to be active in journey classes. We have to be active in Bible studies. We have to surround ourselves with people that believe in God and believe at high level of faith that we can do great things if we put our trust in Him. It's through us sharing our stories, sharing our life, telling people, testifying right? Testifying of his goodness in your life. I guarantee almost every believer in here can tell at least one thing where God has done something almost miraculous, amazing transformation in their life. Those things need to be shared. We need to encourage each other. We need to increase our faith. If we're going to be living our best year yet and our best life yet, we've got to learn how to increase our faith and our trust in him. Come on. Number three, here we go. Believe. Activate, increase, believe. Hebrews 11:1, and I love this version of this scripture. It is New Living Translation. It says, faith is the confidence that we hope for. Let me say that again. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. The things that we hope for will actually happen. Come on, we've got to believe these things that we cannot see. There's some of us who need a breakthrough. There's some of us who can just feel that something's coming, but they can't see it. Don't stop believing. Don't stop increasing. Keep activating your faith. You're right there on the edge of a breakthrough. You're right there. You're ready to be awakening to the childlike faith that God has put inside every one of us. So my question for you today is, what are you believing for that is great? Imagine, what if our lives would be like if we started to believe God for the impossible in 2016? Some of us get uncomfortable when we start thinking about that. But if you activate and you increase and you believe, you will receive. That's his word. That's his word today. So here's what I want to do. I want to give everyone an opportunity this morning who's here. Maybe you're not a follower of Christ. Maybe you're here, somebody invited you. Maybe you're new to this church stuff. Or maybe you've been away. And something inside of you is stirring, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is telling you that you need a fresh start, that it's not too late. The stuff that you've been through, your past doesn't determine your future. So today is your day. If you're here today, I'm going to give you a chance to reach out and grab him by the hand and let God take you along on this journey. So if I could have everybody do this for me, if you would close your eyes and bow your head. If you're here today, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a second. If you're here and you're like, you know what? I need a fresh start with God. I need this Jesus in my life because what I'm doing is not working. And I came here not expecting anything, but I know that God is real and I want all that he has for my life. If you would do me a favor this morning, just so we can see your hand and agree with you in prayer, would you just slip up your hand while nobody's looking? Yeah. Yeah, I see your hand. Anybody else? Yep. In the back, the balcony. Anybody else? Yeah. God is calling you right now. He's calling out to you. He wants you to make a fresh start today with him, to put your trust in him. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone if you would repeat after me, and we're going to pray this prayer together. If you would, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. And today I ask you into my heart. Today I ask for forgiveness from anything that I might have separated me from you. Stir up in me childlike faith, and I will trust in you today. And I will allow you to lead in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you made that decision today, we do have decision cards in the front in the pews in front of you. If you would just fill that out, what that does is it gives us a chance to come alongside of you and pray with you and stay with you on this journey, because let me tell you, life is ever-changing. The struggle is real. There is stuff out there, and the enemy doesn't want to see you succeed. And this is your opportunity for us to be aware and connect with you and help you connect to the Father. So at the end of the service, if you would just grab one of those, turn it into Pastor Jeff or myself, and we will be glad to come alongside of you. And for everybody else, I want to do one more thing before we close. If you're here today and you're like, man, my faith has been shattered. Maybe something devastating has happened and you're like, God, if you're real, why did this happen? God, I don't understand how you could let these things go on. But after hearing the message today, you're like, I need to be awakened, because I know that there's more. I know that you have great things for me, God, but I don't know how to get there. And so today we just want to agree with you and we just want to pray with you. So if we could do this, have you guys close your eyes and bow your heads one more time. If you're here today and you're like, yeah, I just need some prayer. I need to be covered. My faith has been shattered and I need that childlike faith. If you do me a favor, just slip up your hands real quick, just so we know who we're praying with. Yeah. Yep. I see your hands. Anybody else? Yeah. Hands all over the place. Yeah. Up top. Yeah. And that should be most of us, because we go in and out of moments and seasons of faith and measures of faith. And so I'm going to pray with you guys, and we're just going to agree that God's going to do amazing things in your life this morning. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church, God. We thank you for your people. God, we thank you for what you want to do in their lives. And I just pray right now, I speak life into the hearts of our church. I speak faith, Lord, that you would just stir something inside of us like we've never had before. God, that we would somehow connect to our childlike faith like never before. Lord, that you would just show us everything that you have, God, as we put our trust in you, God, and not on ourselves. Lord, that we would start to live out this life that you promised, a life and life more abundantly. God, we know that you have a plan and a perfect plan for each one of us. And I just pray that you would just continue to come up alongside of us and hold our hands and lead us through this life, God, as we know you are the Father and we are your children. God, we love you for what you're gonna do today. And God, we just agree that it will be done in Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Will you guys stand to your feet as we sing one last song?